If you would, open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 12. We're going to start there in just a moment in our study, taking a look at what the Bible would have to say about getting good advice. I want to talk about getting good advice. This is a sermon that primarily is for those who are younger. And again, that's relative, so I'll let you decide who that is. But really, it is a sermon that's good for all of us. So I hope I have the attention of those who are younger, but I trust that I have everyone's attention as we go forward. We're going to start by looking at King Rehoboam and a terrible choice that he made to start off his reign as king. In 1 Kings chapter 12, here his father Solomon has died, and all the people have gathered together as Rehoboam is being made king, and they have a request for him. Let's start at verse 4. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, depart for 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. Now whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. Some translations say scorpions there. That's the advice that was given to him, and that's the advice that he followed, and he lost his kingdom. The kingdom of Israel, consisting of 12 tribes, 10 of them were gone as a result of this decision. Now, it was the Lord's doing. It was punishment that was coming upon Solomon for his decision to follow after idolatry, but it hinged upon Rehoboam's very poor decision. Solomon had taxed the people and had worked the people heavily during his reign, building up the infrastructure of Israel, and the people were wanting some relief. And the older advisors that he had, that he went to first, they said, if you'll grant the people's request, if you'll be a servant to them today, they will be loyal to you throughout your reign. But that's not what he wanted to hear. He rejected that advice and he went to his young friends, those who were his age, those who grew up with him. And he said, what should we do? How should we approach this? And they said, this is where you need to assert your authority. And you need to make these people understand that you're a bigger man and a greater man and a stronger man than your father ever was. And that appealed to his pride, and he followed that path, but he paid dearly for it. We all need help from time to time. We all need advice. We all need counsel. But it's very important that we go to the right source to get this counsel. Someone might say, well, you've got the Bible, and that's all you need. Well, you know that's true, but what was it that Philip said to the eunuch in Acts chapter 8? Do you understand what you're reading? How can I unless someone helps me? How can I unless someone guides me? Yes, we do have the Scriptures, but still, we need help from time to time. And young people especially need help as they're getting started, as they're making decisions for the first time. Where can we find this help? What I want to do for a few moments this morning, I want us to take a look at what the Bible would have to say about the credentials that your advisors need, the credentials that your counselors need. What kind of people does the Bible say you need to be going to seek advice? First, you need to go to someone who has wisdom. Solomon, he lived his life. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes talking about his life, the things that he had tried, the things that he had experienced, and one observation he made, I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. You've got wisdom and you've got foolishness or ignorance over here, just like you've got light and you've got darkness. And wisdom is to be preferred, just like light is to be preferred over darkness. We often want to go to our friends and ask our friends what they think we ought to do. That's only natural. I think people have always done that, but let me help you to understand and hopefully appreciate something. If your friends are just as limited in their experiences and their knowledge as you are, you're not getting any help at all. You're still in darkness. You haven't gone to wisdom. You haven't looked for any light. You've just gone someplace to reaffirm you staying in darkness. You're not bettering yourself at all by going to someone who is just as in the dark as you are. Rehoboam went to the right place for his counsel. He went to the elders who stood before Solomon. And they had a double dose of wisdom, if you'll allow me to put it this way. Number one, they had the wisdom that comes naturally with age and experience. They were the elders. But number two, they spent their days advising the wisest man who's ever lived on this earth. They saw firsthand the decisions that Solomon made. So they had wisdom, and then they had wisdom on top of that. He went to the right place. As a rule, listen to me, as a rule, the best advice that you receive is going to come from someone who is wise. That's what the Scriptures say. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 7, Proverbs 15 and verse 7 says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so." Why would you go to a fool for knowledge? There's none there. You want wisdom, you want knowledge, you want help, you want advice. Go to someone who's wise, because that's what's going to come out of their mouth. That's where you're going to find it. Solomon also wrote, Proverbs 13, verse 20, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed." Whoever you spend your time with are the people that you are allowing to influence you. And so to get the right influence, to get the right information, to get wisdom and knowledge, you need to find some people who are wise and spend time with them and allow them to influence you. That's the way it works. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the counsel of his friends." The people that we spend time with help to shape us. They help to guide us. They help to inform us. So choose to spend time with people who are wise, because the companion of fools, that foolishness is going to rub off, and that foolishness is going to result in destruction. But the question, natural question, comes up, how do we know who's wise? How do we know who's wise, and how do we know who isn't? Well, to take a principle set forth by the Lord in Matthew chapter 7, when he's talking about false prophets, a false prophet doesn't wear a sign saying, "Look out, I'm a false prophet." You're going to have to use another tactic to determine who they are. By their fruits, you will know them. I'll suggest the same thing applies to wisdom. By their fruits, by the way they've lived their life, by their track record, you'll know whether or not they're wise. So find somebody who has lived a good life, that you can look at the track record, that you can see that they've made the right decisions. They are bearing the fruits of wisdom. That's a person you need to listen to. That's a person you need to go to. Someone who has proven by their experiences that they know what is right, that they are wise. Also, you need to find people who are righteous. Proverbs 10:31, "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom." You're not going to get godly wisdom from a reprobate. You're not going to get godly wisdom from someone who is unjust and sinful and unfair. You need to find a godly person. You need to find a righteous man, a righteous woman, someone who knows how to live the way God has said to live. From their mouth is going to come wisdom. And Proverbs 11 verse 2 says, with the humble is wisdom. Don't go to the person that is arrogant. Don't go to the person that is stuck on themselves. Don't go to the person that knows it all and can never be taught anything because they already know everything. They don't have anything to teach you other than the results of a bad example. Then the results of arrogance and pride. Go to a person who is wise, to a person who has wisdom. If you want good advice, that's where you need to go. You need to go to a person who has wisdom and has shown this wisdom in their life. Secondly, someone that's going to give you good advice is going to be someone who is going to listen to you. Someone who is going to hear you out, hear what your problem, what your concern, what your question is, before they give you an answer. A great verse from Proverbs. It's Proverbs 18, verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. There's no wisdom in answering before you hear something. Foolishness is found there. You need to find someone who is going to listen to you. You can't get good advice from someone who doesn't care enough to listen to you. God cares enough to listen to us, doesn't He? Isn't that what's happening when we pray to God? We're praying unto Him, we're talking to Him, and what is He doing? The promise from Scripture is that He's listening to us. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. God wants to hear these things. He wants to hear about our problems. And so through prayer, we're able to talk to God, but sometimes we also need to find others that we can talk to, that we can go to and we can talk to. James chapter 1 and at verse 19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. If you look at the numbers here, I've heard the observation made before, God gave us two ears and one mouth. That means we need to be doing about twice as much listening as we are talking. We need to be ready to hear. Do you know of anybody that you would describe as being a good listener? Isn't that important? I've heard that before. Well, he's a good listener. She's a good listener. And we value that in people. Because here is somebody who cares enough about us to give us their time. They will spend time listening to us. They will spend time hearing what our concern is, hearing what our problem is. Not because they like to gossip, not because they like to have their ears tickled with the juicy gossip, but because they genuinely care enough to hear us out and to hear what our problem is, to think about it, and to give us the best answer that fits our needs, rather than just spurting out their generic answer and moving on to the next person. If you want good advice, you find someone who cares enough to listen to you, to listen to what you have to say, who's willing to invest some time in you and to hear you out. But along with that, number three, you need to find someone who wants to get all the facts before they give you an answer. Another great passage in the Proverbs is found in this same chapter, just a few verses later. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. This is true, isn't it? Well, there are people who are very good at making their case. And when they finish with it, you think, well, that's it. How could it be any way other than that? It's one of the reasons I don't care to watch the news anymore. And I mean the network news. Because you're always getting their spin. And they give it to you and they put their spin on it in such a way that they've made an airtight case. How could it be any other way? And you just flip a couple of channels over and, well, there's the opposite spin. There's the other side of the story. You know what? I can think for myself. I can decide what I want to think about the news. I prefer to just get the news. Wisdom is shown in knowing there's always at least two sides to every story. Oftentimes there's three. There's what one person has said, there's what another person has said, and the truth will lie somewhere in between. That's just wisdom that tells us that. The best advice that we can get is going to come from someone who knows all the facts. Rehoboam liked the advice that was given by his friends because it was what he wanted to hear. And he accepted the advice that he wanted to hear. And you know, it doesn't take very much experience on our part to learn that if we choose the right person and we spoon-feed them the limited details about the situation that we want to, we can get whatever advice we really want to get. That's not that difficult to do, but it's very foolish if we care about doing the right thing. Instead, we need to find the person that says, you know what? I need to get all the facts. I need to know everything that's going on here so that I can advise you in the right way. We need someone who can see things clearly. We need someone who is unbiased and at the same time someone who cares enough to lead us in the right way. Nicodemus was a man who was fair. We studied about Nicodemus this morning in our adult Bible class in John chapter 7 and verse 51. Whenever the other Pharisees were looking to destroy Jesus, they had no use for him at all. They wanted to get rid of him. Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he's doing? Here Nicodemus was pleading with his fellow Pharisees, the other rulers, wait a minute, we need to know what this man is doing before we make decisions about him. Nicodemus is a man who wanted to get all the facts. That's why he went to Jesus. He went to Jesus because he wanted to investigate. He wanted to learn some things about him. We need to find someone who wants to get all the facts, who understands the importance of giving all the information before they give us advice that's going to allow us to steer our lives in making important decisions. The last thing I want us to consider, I believe, is the most important thing. So if I haven't got your attention yet, I hope that you'll give it to me now. To get good advice, we need to find someone who respects God's Word. Someone who knows God's Word and who respects God's Word and is going to be very careful to give us advice that is in harmony with what God's Word says. This is the most important credential to be found in an advisor. A couple of passages from Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then in chapter 9 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've already said, if you want good advice, you need to go to someone who has wisdom. If you want good advice, you need to go to someone who has knowledge and they're going to open their mouth and they're going to give you that wisdom and that knowledge, but it's only going to come from someone who fears the Lord. This is someone who respects God, who reverences God, and who respects His Word. Now, I want you to pay careful attention, especially those of you who are younger. I want you to pay very careful attention to the point we're making here. Someone who fears the Lord, they are going down a path that will give them knowledge. Someone who fears the Lord is going down a path that's going to give them wisdom. But Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A person that doesn't believe in God, or doesn't know if God exists or not, or yes, God exists, but who cares? This person does not have knowledge, and this person does not have wisdom. I don't care what kind of degrees they have from what schools they've been to. I don't care what their credentials are. I don't care what kind of praise our society gives them. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So I want you to know that if you're going to someone that doesn't believe in God, or doesn't know if God exists or not, or has no respect whatsoever for God's Word, you are not going to be getting wisdom from them. They're not going to be helping you to make the right decisions in your life. You tell me, who should we listen to? Who should I listen to? Who should you listen to? The person that the Bible says has knowledge and wisdom, or the person that the Bible says is a fool? We need to listen to those who have wisdom. Godly advice is not going to come from someone who does not respect God's Word. And one alarming characteristic of some of the younger generations in our society today, sociologists study this. This is what they do. They look at these trends that relate to people, groups of people, generations of people. One of the marking characteristics of the younger generations today is the relationship that they have between their friends and what they understand to be the truth. And this is the way that I read it and that I understood this. Many of us here today, we have our convictions on what is truth, what is right, and what is wrong. And we've learned these things. We learned these things in our youth. We learned them in our Bible classes. We learned them from our parents and our grandparents. We have convictions regarding what truth is. And we set out in our life and we make friends. And we surround ourselves, the close circle of friends that we have, most of the time are people that share those convictions with us, right? Not always. But most of the time, the people that we choose to associate with the closest are people that share these same convictions with us. We understand iron sharpens iron. We want to be with wise people. With some of the younger generations today, a change in this trend has been noticed. And that is, younger people are allowing their convictions to be shaped by their friends and their peers, and their influences from media and from entertainment. And that's why today you can have someone who's raised up in the Lord's church, who's been taught the truth their entire life, and yet they'll say, without batting an eye, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. It's just an alternate lifestyle. You can't tell me that there aren't saved people in all the churches. There's nothing wrong with lying. If you've got to do that, adultery's not so bad. These kind of statements coming from people that ought to know better what's happening. I'll tell you what's happening. They're allowing their peers to establish their convictions instead of the other way around. And that's very dangerous. That's a very dangerous thing to do. That's why we're living in a society today where people can't decide what gender they are. You talk about foolishness. That's foolish. Where's it come from? It's come from an entire generation having the carpet yanked out from under them. The standard of truth is gone. Now it's nebulous. Now it changes with whatever their peer group is saying, whatever their friends are saying, whatever entertainers are saying. Young people, I want you to understand something. Truth is not determined by majority vote. Truth is not determined by trends that are going on in society today. Right and wrong has been established from the very beginning by God, and it does not change. Psalm 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. You need to understand that. You need to accept that. You need to use that when you're going to find people to advise you and to help you to make the right decisions in your life. Someone who respects the truth, who knows what the truth is and who values the truth above any amount of popularity or any amount of going along with what society has to say. Just a few verses below this one, Psalm 119, verses 99 and 100. The psalmist says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. God's word will give you better understanding than all the counsel and the advice that comes from unbelievers. I don't care what their education was. I don't care what their credentials are, their training, their worldly praise. I don't care. You need to find somebody who, as God puts it, in Isaiah 66 verse 2, someone who trembles at my word. You want to get good advice? You go to somebody who respects God's word and who trembles. And what that means is takes it seriously. Knows that this is the word of life. Takes it seriously. Fashions their life by it. And they're going to be very careful in the advice that they give you to make sure that it is 100% in harmony with what God says in His Word. Why would you want to get any other kind of advice than that? If you're looking at shaping your life, if you're looking at finding that narrow gate that leads to that narrow path that leads to eternal life, why would you want any other kind of advice than the advice that is based upon God's Word? Young people, this is what you need to be looking for when you're looking to get advice. Despite the fact that we all have access to God's Word, we need help and we need guidance from time to time. I hope that we can appreciate the fact that the people that we go to and the people that we're willing to listen to, they're going to make all the difference in the world. And so we need to be very careful that we choose the right advisors, that we choose the right counselors, that we go to the right people to give us that help. If we really want the best advice, we need to seek out those who are wise, those who care enough about us to listen to us, those who have to get all the facts before they answer, and those who are very careful to give us advice that is in harmony with the will of God. Those are the credentials that you need to look for and those who would give you advice. And I'll say one more thing. Those who are older, number one, we need advice too. I'll say I'm older this morning. We need advice too. And we need to be going and looking for the same credentials that we have seen set forth here. But let me challenge you with this. There are younger people who need advice. You and I need to be trying very hard to make sure we're this kind of person that people can trust coming to, that we have wisdom, that we care enough to listen, to get all the facts, and we're going to be very careful that we guide people in the right way. It's a challenge for all of us here this morning. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God, I'm not going to give you advice. I'm going to just give you what the Bible says. What you need to do in order to be saved. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you have to confess that faith with your mouth before others. You have to repent of your sins in order to be saved. And you have to be baptized, immersed in water to be forgiven of your sins. This is what the Bible tells you to do. It's not advice. It's truth. But here's the advice that I would give with it. Do it now. Do it now. Don't put it off until later. Do it now. Become a Christian now. Get your life right with God now. And if we can help you with that, we'd be glad to do so. Please come as we stand and sing this song.